Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. And I sure appreciate all of you joining us. Maybe some of you just joining us here for the second hour of the program. And we are coming to you live all week long from Kalispell, Montana. And we're very excited to be here. We are going to do a town hall meeting at East Haven Baptist Church tomorrow evening in Kalispell. East Haven Baptist Church, wonderful church. We had a chance to go to service there yesterday. Pastor Matthew did a wonderful job, and we're excited to be there tomorrow night. In the meantime, I'm teaching every day at Glacier Bible College, so I'm excited about that. We'll be there every day teaching for 3 hours this week. And it is gorgeous here. It is gorgeous. My wife and I said, you can just see the majesty of God everywhere. It is an amazing place, so peaceful, and I feel it's great to be here. I feel very rested. Of course, the problem, I start at 7 in the morning here. I don't have a problem with that other than getting up at 2:30 doesn't cut it here because I'm... You know, I get up at 2:30 at home. I can't get up 2:30 here and get the same amount of work I get done as I would at home because we're 2 hours early starting. So if I were to do that, I feel like I would be getting up 2 hours late and not getting anything done. So that is a downside. The bigger downside would be by the time I get used to it here, I'll be going back home. And so I'd probably be all messed up next week as well. Anyway, sure glad you're with us. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. All right, let me just take a look. I want to see what's happening here in the markets if I can get to them. My computer's not cooperating. Okay, here we go. So everything's still flat. The S&P is moving up a bit, and we'll see what's going on. I mean, I think the Boeing is going to be holding back, could be holding back the Dow all week. And we will see what happens there. So lots going on. There is a Boeing shareholder meeting going on right now. And we'll see if anything good comes out of that, or at least some guidance and some direction as to where things might be going or ending up. This week, we have 143 S&P 500 companies reporting earnings. Now, last year, you will remember, at the end of December, everybody was talking about the big earnings recession that was coming. The earnings recession, not the economic recession, or the recession in the economy, but the earnings recession. In other words, forget about all the great earnings reports that we've had for so many quarters in a row. That is all coming to an end and coming crashing down. That was the prediction. On that prediction, there were many people that got out of the markets, that flocked the markets. Everybody reading. I don't know how many times in December, the end of December and the beginning of January, I said, stop reading all the bloggers and all the doom and gloomers and all the gold salesmen and all the silver salesmen and all the salesmen that are selling newsletters or selling different products or selling books or trying to get more publicity, all those things. Stop looking at it. I stood firm in December and said, please do not get out. That was the same call that I gave you January of 2019. 2018, and again, January 2019. We are staying the course. We are not wavering. We are going to be steadfast until the economic data, the real, not the market data, and not the mainstream media, but the real data tells us something different. It has not been telling us anything different, and I know it breaks your heart, breaks my heart, that this is hurting the credibility of mainstream media. Isn't that a shame? And I know we're very sad over that. But the fact of the matter is, we've got a lot on the table. We're worried about U.S.-China trade. We're worried about the EU trade. We're worried about a trade deal with Japan. We're worrying about commodities and what commodities are going to be doing. As a matter of fact, Craig Haugert coming up here in about 15 seconds. Craig's going to be coming up here telling us about commodities and where we are sitting right now. We're very concerned about that, as we should be. But all in all, markets setting new records. The NASDAQ and the S&P, new all-time records at the close on Friday. Here's Craig Haugert with our Ag Report. We'll be back.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn finally managed to post a higher close on Friday. We saw South Korea come in and buy some corn, which was encouraging. Traders are also starting to get a little bowled up by weather forecasts that look less than conducive for getting a crop planted. In fact, the weather models that came out this weekend continue to offer cool and wet forecasts for the next 7 to 10 days. This has the overnight markets trading higher in anticipation of planting delays. The average trade guess is that the planting progress report that comes out tonight will show that 15% of the crop has been planted, but don't be surprised if it's less than that. We're in the time of year when we tend to generate rallies of fears over fears of production problems. As short as the funds are right now, it would not be a surprise to see a rally, especially if the funds get spooked and start to head for the exits. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 3 cents higher. Unlike corn, beans were lower at the end of the week. The Chinese futures market was sharply lower in the overnight, which put pressure on the U.S. market. The crop in Argentina is now over half harvested, and the export market beans from both Argentina and Brazil are being offered at levels that are $15 to $18 per metric ton cheaper than U.S. beans. It's hard to come up with a good demand scenario for U.S. beans right now, and without that, it's also hard to get much support rallied for this market. In the overnight trade, we do have spot futures bouncing a little bit on the weekend weather forecast, and they're trading up 4 cents as I record this. With talk of prevent plant and abandoned spring wheat acres, the bulls were unable to get any traction, and thus Minneapolis and Kansas City wheats both closed lower on Friday. Chicago managed to post a little higher close, although for the week, futures were down 12 cents in Chicago. Traders would argue the job of the wheat market has become competitive again by dropping low enough to find demand and thus look for wheat to remain weak until that demand materializes. In the overnight trade, wheat is kind of hanging on to the shirt tails of both corn and beans, with Kansas City and Chicago both trading 3 cents higher, while Minneapolis is trading up 2 cents. Cotton futures experienced a bit of a setback on the heels of Thursday's nice move higher. For the session, July futures were down 62 points on Friday as they settled at 77.70. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 9 points higher. Livestock ended the week on a softer note, with both cattle and hog futures lower. June live cattle were down 32.5 cents, while August feeder cattle closed 40 cents lower for the day. Lean hogs had been limit lower on Thursday and had some follow through to the downside to end the week on Friday. For the session, the June hog futures were $1.25 lower. It's interesting to note that on the June chart, we have a gap that we require June lean hogs to move back to 91.55 to fill that gap. I'll be very surprised if the market doesn't try to fill that gap at some point. Class 3 milk futures had a very slow session, with the June futures closing 2 points higher at 16.39. In the overnight trade, spot futures are an additional point higher. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 6 cents higher at $232.99, while selects were 34 cents lower as they settled at $219.41. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 55 cents.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. If you want to cue your question up, you are welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Well, anyway, I was telling you right before the Ag Report that we see, you know, we're expecting this great recession in earnings, right? Earnings were going to finally start falling apart after years of pretty good earnings. So the S&P companies, 500, the S&P companies, 143 of them are reporting earnings for first quarter this week. We had 144 last week, and we had about 44, 45 the week before. So we now have more than half of the S&P 500 companies by the end of this week will have reported. But so far, for those 180, 190 companies that have already reported, this is as of this morning, so far 77% of them have either met or exceeded projections and expectations. So much for earnings recession. Wonder how, you know, is anybody out there, anybody in mainstream media, any of those left-leaning analysts, are any of them tired yet? Are they tired of being wrong? So, I mean, I know, look, this is economics. And if I say something long enough, I'm going to be right, eventually. That's just the way it is. But come on. So if you are so negative, then do you understand? Hopefully you don't manage any money, because if you do, you are either doing an incredible disservice for the folks that you manage, or you're saying one thing for the sake of your popularity on social media and not practicing that with the money that you manage. Or you're doing your clients a great disservice. But right now, we have had a very, very good earnings season, and it is not likely to turn bad at this point with so many companies who have already reported. U.S. trade delegation, round number 10. Round number 10. Hopefully this will be a knockout round where we will finally knock out a deal. We'll see. But round 10 is getting ready to start tomorrow in Beijing. So Lighthizer, Mnuchin, others, they will be talking, trying to hammer out and finish off some of the details of the deal. These are the tougher details. Some of these details include things like enforcement of the deal, accountability of the deal, how, where, when will tariffs be dropped or reduced dramatically. So some of these final details of the deal could in fact be stumbling blocks still in the deal. Now, they are reporting and have been for the last 3 weeks that these are no longer stumbling blocks. We've seen some evidence of that by some of the things that have been worked out already. We'll see. We'll find out. But some are predicting that we could have a deal signed, sealed, and delivered by the end of May. That would be a very good thing. I have been hoping that we'd have a deal by the end of June. That would put us, you know, starting off the second half of the year on very good footing if we had that done. But look, We've got a long way to go. I'm not talking about U.S.-China now. I'm talking about in trade in general. We have got to get a deal with Japan. That looks like it's coming closer. We had Japan's delegation here in Washington last week talking about that. Hopefully we're getting closer. We'll get a deal with Japan. Hopefully the North American trade agreement, I played a clip from Larry Kudlow, chief economic advisor to the president, on Fox on Saturday, talking about how good that deal is. We know how good the deal is. I think we got that figured out. The question is, does Trudeau know how good the deal is? Because he seems to be the fly in the ointment here, and is he the one going to be holding up the deal? It's one thing to have a deal agreed to. It's another one to have it actually put into place, and that's what we're hoping will happen. Okay, we're hoping that it's going to happen. Then we've got to move on very quickly. We've got to see how fast we can pivot from U.S.-China, which is ridiculous to me that we even have to pivot. But nonetheless, we have to, because we can't get too overwhelmed doing too many things. So we've got to wait until a U.S.-China deal, I guess, is put together. And then we will pivot to the Eurozone. And it is critically important, in my opinion, that we pivot very quickly to a European deal. This is hurting manufacturing and autos, hurting auto sales, hurting auto manufacturing, hurting a number of other things. More importantly, we need to do this deal so that we can help the Eurozone get some legs underneath them so they can keep from going into a recession, because they are right on the edge of a recession. And I don't know if we don't do anything, there's a good chance, certainly by the end of the year, if not sooner, that which would be the end of September, that they could be in recession. So very concerning. We'll watch that closely. No inflation. They're still struggling with deflation. You've got the European Central Bank, which is really, I know. You know, people tell me all the time, I love it when you say pathetic. I don't know why, but people say that to me all the time. But you know what? Pathetic just doesn't do it justice. The European Central Bank, I cannot believe it's hard for me to comprehend that Mario Draghi still has a job. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't have anything personally against him. But as a central banker, I can't believe he's still got a job. Really, it's ridiculous. So we're watching that. Obviously, we're watching it very closely. But so they've got to be watching it even closer. Something's got to be done. And they need some pain. They need to have good pain, the kind of pain that leads to a successful economy. Good pain is the physical therapy after surgery, so because it's leading to full mobilization or whatever it might be that you are rehabbing. See, that's kind of good pain. You got to have that. That's getting somewhere. You're making progress. You're going to finish at the end of all that pain. You're going to come out ahead. And that's what it's all about. We don't have any of that. There hasn't been any of that in the Eurozone whatsoever, and there needs to be some. So it's interesting to watch that. But we are going to, I'm telling you, this whole deal with Brexit is going to look like a walk in the park compared to some of the other nations that are all going to be clamoring to get out of the Eurozone. You know, when you look at France and you see what is happening, what's happened with France, you know, the orange shirts or vest, orange vest, they call these protesters. When you see what is going on in France, because Macron put a definition on patriotism, because he didn't like President Trump's patriotism definition, you all remember that, and the protest ensued and been going on since. Because everybody came to the very quick conclusion that Macron apparently doesn't care a lick about the people that voted him in office. Macron didn't care a lick about the people of France. He cared about his globalist agenda far more than he cared about his country. Therein lies the problem of the failed experiment they call the Eurozone. These are just my opinions and my words. But nonetheless, we'll watch that. We'll see what happens and where things go. Let me go to phones. Let me go to Katrina. Katrina calling us from North Carolina. Hi, Katrina.
Hey, Dan. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for everything you do, and I have been a partner for several years. My question has to do with insurance products. My mother passed away in 2013, but prior to that, she had went and gotten an annuity that was paid 7% from an insurance company, and she used money from CDs to fund that annuity. When she passed away, it went to my dad, and he went in there, and what they did is I have a sister, and Daddy took the $70,000 and split it two ways into two $35,000 life insurance policies. Well, I got to looking at the statements he's gotten, and it builds cash value, but the insurance policy is actually my daddy is a beneficiary, and the insurance policies are actually on the lives of my sister and me. So I asked Daddy, I said, well, Daddy, who turned 90 this year, Daddy, you know, what happens if something happens to you with these policies? And he didn't really know. So I'm wanting him to go and just cash those policies out. I know there will be a surrender amount, but there'll still be a little bit more than what he put in there. And my question is, would he have to pay taxes on the whole amount, or would he just pay taxes on the part that he gets back since it was from a CD and annuity? Yeah, that's my question.
You know what, Katrina? I'm going to answer that when we get back off this break. It's a very good question. But I've got to ask you, and I'm going to ask you this at the end of this break. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. By the way, you just heard that preborn spot, and I hope all of you are doing that. Let's finish. We're going to finish this so strong for the month of May. We're going to, obviously, we are always going to be a part of the ministry there at Preborn, lest something dramatic were to change, which I don't anticipate. And but we've got this push on right now to support the 10 centers that are getting brand new ultrasound machines that never had one before, and they're getting one now because of what you all did in 2.5 days by getting those 10 centers off the waiting list, and by what God did. God raised up a donor, that gave, for every 100 scans that we sponsored, gave an entire ultrasound machine to these centers, 10 of these that were, this is how many were on the waiting list for an ultrasound machine. And because of what you've done, they've all got, or not, they don't all have them yet, but we'll be getting them shortly. We'll have these ultrasound machines, and we are trying to give them a jump start by sponsoring the first 150 scans, tests that they do. Once they get these ultrasound machines, we hope you'll come alongside us and do that. I was talking to Katrina from North Carolina. So Katrina, your dad's got this these annuities now. First of all, it doesn't matter. It was very irresponsible for an agent to suggest this to your dad to do that, and it is terrible. It drives me crazy. But that aside, do you know if this was IRA money that was set up originally?
No. I traced the money when I found out what Daddy had done. I started trying to trace the money. This was actually a certificate of deposit at a bank that my mother banked with. And she had $70,000, not quite 70 at the time. But I actually have the withdrawals where she closed out that CD. Right. That CD, I actually have that paperwork. My mother was really good about that. So it actually was money that taxes had already been paid on. She had saved it and put it in CDs.
So there is going to be very little taxes, very little, if any, taxes due on that money. So you shouldn't have to worry too much about that. That's not going to be a concern. But what you should do is exactly what you're planning on doing. You need to encourage your dad to get that withdrawn and be done with it. And I think that you need to get that processed as quickly as you possibly can.
I told Daddy I was going to try to talk with you about it, but my understanding, I was a tax auditor for the state before I retired, and I kind of felt that way, but we will get that done. Yes, I will contact him. We probably can get that done Wednesday.
Yeah, you can, and you know, I would get it done. If you want to pursue saving your surrender charges and those kinds of things, then certainly you need you know, who has power of attorney for your dad?
I do.
Does anybody? Okay.
I do.
So you might want to pursue. Okay, well then you can do this on his behalf, and you should pursue. You know, with the insurance company, or I mentioned that this was not the right thing to do. They know it wasn't the right thing to do. And, you know, you're contemplating talking to the state insurance commissioner, you know, about this. And, you know, this was just wrong. And you would like to have this money back to your dad without any of the surrender charges. Because when it passed to your dad from your mother's account, there would not have been any surrender charges, even if there were still some left on it, because that would have went away, you know, because it was a transfer as a result of her death. So now they've created this. They've also created a very hefty, the agent created a very hefty commission. So I would call them. Tell them that you want to surrender this, but I would tell them that, you know, you're contemplating whether you're going to pursue this with the insurance commissioner.
I sure will. Thank you so
much.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Katrina. I'm glad you called. You're welcome. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Let me go to Bobby. Bobby's calling us from Texas. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. I was asking about MA-55, I was thinking about buying that and then writing a January 2020 call against the stock, and I just wanted to know what you thought about that plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's up to you. I don't talk much about calls and puts and those kinds of things, because most people, I don't want to have to get into explaining all of it. I'm not a huge fan of it. But yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. If you understand it, you want to do that. I do think that the stock's got upside momentum and upside potential, and that's why it's on the buy list. I would consider it a relatively strong buy at this point. Now, a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, some geopolitical events. But nonetheless, it is you know, got some, there are some things out there in the economy that could dramatically impact this, the projections on this company. And most of it's pretty positive and pretty likely to happen. So I like the company for the first time in a long time as a buy.
Thank you so much for your input. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bobby. You're welcome. God bless. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Thomas calling us from Indiana. Hey, Thomas.
Morning, Dan. Would Samaritan Ministries be a better option than Medicare?
Well, you cannot take that as an option to Medicare. So would it be? Yes, it would be. But it's a great option for your Medicare supplement. So if you are getting ready to get Medicare, you should only get original Medicare, number one, and you use Samaritan as your supplemental. So whatever Medicare doesn't cover, that the Samaritan would. Now, if you have original Medicare, you're not locked in to any kind of, what am I looking for when you can only go to certain places, I'm drawing a blank, but you're not locked into, you know, a system where you can only go to certain hospitals, certain doctors, and those kinds of things. You won't have that with original Medicare. You can go wherever you want. And if you go wherever you want, the cost of where you're going will be somewhat irrelevant as to what Medicare is going to cover. If there are some costs they don't cover, it won't matter because Samaritan will pick that up. So, and the reason why I say you can't opt out of Medicare for Samaritan is because the law doesn't allow you to. Now, there is a petition that you need to sign and everybody listening needs to sign at cchfreedom.org. When you go there and to sign the petition for the president, it says Trump on it. And what we're trying to get done here is the president to override the executive order, in other words, do away with the executive order that Bill Clinton put in place, tying your receipt of Social Security to Medicare. And so we're hoping that he's going to do away with that executive order and say that's no longer in effect. And that's why I say you have to take Medicare, because if you don't, you're not going to get Social Security. So there's no option there.
Well, I bet a lot of people don't understand that.
Well, I hope they do. I mean, you know, but it is an executive order that was signed by Clinton. And when I had Twyla Brace on last week, she was talking about the petition. We're trying to petition the president to hurry up and get this executive order done away with. The president doesn't need an act of Congress to do that. He can do it on his own. But we've got to get that tied in. It's ridiculous that anybody should be forced to take Medicare if there's a better alternative out there. But right now we're being forced to take it, because, you know, we want our Social Security.
Okay.
But only get original Medicare. So if you haven't signed up yet, make sure you sign up for original Medicare.
Okay, Dan. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome, Bobby. God bless. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to cue your call up, you are welcome to do that. We've got, folks, we've got another, let's see, we've got another hour and 15 minutes left, another hour and 10 minutes left. So we hope that you will join us. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me just see. I know we have a lot of questions on Facebook, so we'll get to some of those when we get back as well. 844-707-5533. You're listening to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. Folks, don't forget about our live town hall meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a Saturday morning.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Somebody on Facebook, Dan, is asking me this. I recall hearing you say earlier in the year to hold, not sell, profits on foundational stocks. Is that still correct? Yes. If you're a partner and you own foundational stocks, you only have one thing to think about with the foundational stock, and that is to accumulate more, you know, as time goes by, if you're able to do it from a without getting overweighted. But you're not selling, you're not taking profits, you're not doing anything there, you're holding on to it. So yes, that still is true. That has always been true, and I doubt that it's going to become get to a situation where it's not true anymore. So that is not likely to change. So hopefully that helps you appreciate it. So you're saying that apparently you have two of the foundational stocks, and they're up 15 to 25%, depending on which ones. That's good. That's great. That now becomes, you know, just profit sitting those foundational stocks. You're going to keep that profit is going to help those foundational stocks in your portfolio weather some storms, ride okay, do okay. In the long run, you're going to benefit from that, and you're going to hang on to those foundational stocks. So if you are a partner, of course, and you don't know this, we're talking about foundational stocks. Foundational stocks are those that are highlighted in yellow on my list. So you'll look at the buy list, you'll see I have some foundational stocks listed. They're highlighted in blue. Some stocks are yellow. Some stocks are highlighted in blue, and they have yellow text. That means it's not only a foundational stock, but I would consider an income stock as well. All the more reason to hold on to it. The same is true with income stocks, the ones that are highlighted in blue. You don't sell, take profits on them. Because if you own those, you own them because you're in it for income. And if you're in it for income, you don't want to sell off shares because the income is paid to you based on how many shares you have. You're getting 50 cents a share, 25 cents a share, dollar a share, whatever it might be, the dividend, but you're getting that based on your ownership of a share. So if you sell off profits, you need to sell shares, meaning you're going to reduce your income. And if you're an income investor, you care more about the income than anything else, and you're not going to sell off of those. And the same holds one more time, I'd say this. The last thing is the selling of profits does not happen in mutual funds. If you have mutual funds, particularly those that you contribute to on a regular basis, this would be like your 401k at work and those things, you don't sell out of those. Don't sell the profits out of those either. So hopefully that helps you, Dan. Nancy is saying, good morning. Thank you for bringing biblical knowledge to our finances. I have a question in reference to the Federal Reserve and central banks. If we are to go back being a republic, then we would need precious metals, right? Can you please discuss this topic and give your opinion? No, not necessarily. So frankly, from an economic perspective, and the economics that our founding fathers held to were economics based primarily on free markets, yes, economy, and the possession of land that individuals have and the rights that people have to own land. And the government has no rights to own land. There wasn't a formal kind of gold standard back then. We're never going to go back on a gold standard, but it's got little to do with the freedoms that we receive from being a republic and maintaining ourselves as a free market capitalist republic. So would it be better? I can't argue that. Yes, it would be better. Was it a mistake in 1973 to come off the gold standard? Yes, it was a big mistake. But nonetheless, we would have to see gold dramatically increase in value, $8,000-$10,000 an ounce, for us to come anywhere near close to having enough gold to be able to get our monetary system back on it. Now, could we get back on a commodity-based system? Yes. We could do that. But it's not going to be just gold. It would be several different commodity-based system to gold. The likelihood of that happening because of regimes like China, Russia, and other socialist, radically socialist, fascist kinds of regimes, or even if we look at Saudi Arabia and some of the Middle East that are monarchies, the odds of us going back on any kind of commodity-based system is going to be very slim for us to see that happen. But it does not mean that we are losing our republic. We have lots of other things that we could say are unfortunate to us and to our republic, yes. But I don't think that the gold standard for monetary system is an absolute must in order for us to maintain our republic. Great question, though. I like that. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Civil War Buff in Ohio. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning there.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I've been up in the Kalispell area before. It's a beautiful place. You're very lucky to be there this time.
Oh, it is. Man, I sure am. It is gorgeous. Yes.
Okay, my question is about a preferred issued by one of the stocks on your broad list. And
okay.
That stock is F, as in Frank, 30.
Okay.
And if you put an M behind the symbol there, it comes up with the preferred.
Okay. So that preferred, yeah, boy, I haven't looked at it since it was issued. Let me just, for some reason, it is, let me try this. I'm going to, I got to go to a different, shift gears a little bit. There you go. So that preferred is not one that I would probably want to see as an issue for a number of reasons. One, it is a very different kind of preferred. It's a micro cap. It pays a very high dividend, and it is a preferred that's primarily based on what they do themselves. This is a company that is a finance company. They invest in capital markets. They're raising money through a preferred to bring in so that they can buy out and buy into other capital markets. So that means that whatever money they raise and they use to buy into these markets, these capital markets, those buys that they make will be 100% leveraged. And so I don't consider this a preferred that would be something that I would ever want to, but at this point, recommend to our partners for that reason. And that's why it's the underlying stock, of course, is on my list, but the preferred, not likely to get there. But that's the main reason.
Okay. Well, that was one of the questions I had, and now the other one's kind of a general question about the pretty much the same thing. Is it okay or is it a good thing, a bad thing, what have you, to own a parent company and a preferred that it issues at the same time?
It's okay to do that. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people will do that. Oftentimes, you'll find out that the parent company pays a dividend that is very close to what the preferred is. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's two levels of stock. If the company ever got in trouble, you could lose the common stock and hold on to the preferred, maybe not lose its value. But in today's world, that doesn't happen like it used to many years ago. So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. I would just, it's a way to kind of help your diversification in the sense that the preferred's going to be under financials, but the underlying stock may be, I don't know, a utility or something different. So there's nothing wrong with doing that, though. Yep,
okay.
Be fine with it. All right. Thank you. I sure do appreciate your call, brother.
No problem.
I know I used to see you on YouTube all the time, so I'm glad you're listening.
I do every day.
Folks, I sure do appreciate. Thank you. Sure do appreciate you all being with us. Remember, if you've got to leave us, we got another hour left, but remember, all that you have is his. Let's be a good and faithful steward. More financial issues coming.